What I want to talk to you about this morning is going to be extremely simple for some of you. For some of you, it may be extremely complex. Some of you will know right what I'm talking about. Others of you will probably sit there with a little bit of bewilderment trying to figure it out. Because all of us are different places in the Lord. But what I'm desiring is today to help you to get a better handle on the battle that you're going through. And to be able to have weapons within your arsenal to where you can do something about it. That you will know that your life is not to be one huge battle. Although there will be battle after battle after battle as long as this life until we get there. Man, I just thinking this morning, this is Dwayne's and Maxine's first Sunday in heaven. Can you imagine what heaven does on Sunday? It's Resurrection Day, Resurrection Remembrance. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what goes on in heaven there? Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit about this, but to get into that, you have to have first a certain amount of understanding of authority. You have to come to a realization of how much authority do you have. Now, I'm not talking about the authority about who's going to do the dishes tonight. Because I guarantee you, in my house, it will probably be me. Now, don't believe what Lane says. She'll compete with that. But I'm not talking about that type of authority. I'm talking about the type of authority that you will do as you stand in prayer. That is where authority is the grandest. And some people completely blow it with thinking that authority is dictatorial and authority is you telling her or you telling them. Authority is so much more. Authority happens the grandest when you're in prayer. And there in that prayer closet, God will always honor your authority. God gave you the authority. And He will always honor it. Now you'll go on a job and people will question it. Many of you live in families where there's so much turmoil, you don't know who's in authority. But when you go to prayer, God will always honor your authority. Always. Because the kingdom of God is set up that way. Several years ago, I faced a battle I want to tell you about to help you to understand authority a little bit. There are certain people that God, by right of who you are and by the place that God has placed you, God has given you authority there. There are certain people that you have authority over. Then there are certain people that you are under their authority. The ability to wear those two hats will really mean your success in life. Your ability to, at one moment, to wear the hat of authority, and then the very next moment you're taking off the hat of authority, and now you're the hat of submission. And so the ability to do that. But that also is in the kingdom. That's in the realm where you can't see. Because authority is strongest in the realm where you can't see. I tell you what. Angels honor authority. Demons have to honor authority that's in Jesus' name. So authority is such a powerful thing. But several years ago, the Lord has blessed me in my life. My dad went to be with the Lord at a really early age. But God brought two men into my life that really served as dads for me during my teenage years. And I give honor to both of those. One of those who was really the oldest has some things going on against his life that for years I would pray, not understanding authority. Every person here has those that you have authority over. If you're a mom here today, you understand authority that God has given you over those children. If you're the head of your house, then you understand there is a authority. You know, Debbie, I was just thinking this morning, the shifting of authority of somewhat that God will be working in your family. As Dwayne has carried that authority so well. And then the possible shifting of that authority, although he still stands in heaven with that authority, the shifting as far as it is in earth. But here, several years ago, and one of the dads that God had brought into my life as a teenager to help me, like I said, there were some things going on that the enemy had really fought him. Now, you may not believe in demon powers, but I'm just here to tell you, you haven't lived long enough yet then. Because you understand there's more going on that you don't see than what you see. You've got to always know that. And if the enemy's plot to get you to only live by what you see and forget about what you don't see, in which the Bible tells us that our battles in life, in Ephesians chapter 6, our battles in life are really not from what we see. Our real battles in life, the Bible said, we don't fight with flesh and blood. Amen. But against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places is what it says. It says the real battle. Now, the enemy may be using people. The enemy may be influencing people, but the battle is not people. The battle is always that is not seen, either for you or against you. And the Bible wanted you to know that. That's why he said where the real battle is. Then he told you that God said, I've given you spiritual weaponry. He said, the weapons I'm giving you, they're not carnal though. They don't work with people. But said they're mighty through God to pulling down of these strongholds that have been launched against you. So that's where your power is. Your power is. And so several years ago, one of the precious dads that God had brought into my life, like I said, there were some battles going on. And for years, I felt like that God had placed me as an armor bearer, or really more than that. I would see myself standing against the enemy. And my thinking was this. The enemy will have to come through me to get to him. Now, truly, that is a true fact, but not in that situation. Anyone that God has given me authority over, that's true. But anyone that I'm under their authority, that's not true. But God has given us a power in prayer for all people, but it's not in that authority realm. If you're a mom here today, you have natural authority. The enemy has to come through you to get to those kids. You got to know that. So you hold it up. You stand in that way. Man, you put your foot down. You say, devil, you can't do this. But the truth of the matter is that same authority does not work up as it works down. That same wife has not that authority over that husband's life or whoever the head of that household is. And that head of that household then, authority works down. And that, let me tell you, and that's why the enemy so comes to try to cause such disruption in homes. That's why that you women have such a struggle trying to walk in unity with your husband. Because it's the authority that the Spirit is after. He knows if he can bring a division and separate you, that he can stop the authority. See? And so what he does, he comes in. And let me tell you this. That's why some of you have a trouble at church. Because there is a certain amount of authority that a church realm has in authority in your life. Just like in the early service this morning, I stood and took authority over the forces of darkness through both all the services today. As a pastor, that is authority that God has given to me as a pastor. But that's why the enemy comes and tries to separate you. Because he's trying to remove every authority out of your life. Because if the enemy can remove the authorities that have control over him, then that gives him a license to do what he wants to against you. So here I am. I stand there with that knowledge. And I would see myself in prayer morning after morning as I would pray for this surrogate dad that God had brought into my life. And I would see myself standing there opposing that enemy. Now, you may not, like I said earlier, you may not believe in demons, but that don't mean they don't believe in you. When you read the book of Revelations, the book of Revelations exposes spirits. And the New Testament exposes spirits. In fact, the New Testament applies names to them and categories of these spirits, just like powers, principalities. It applies names to some and applies because, once you know, it's a personal battle. Now, a lot of times in the Old Testament, that's why people don't understand. They don't understand how God would take authority over a nation because it was the demon spirits that were conspiring behind those nations that were the battle was going on with. And so I was, during that season, I was in a real battle with the spirit, what the Bible calls Leviathan. Now, Leviathan is mentioned in the Bible like four or five times. It's the one that Job fought. And Leviathan, during that period, and God gives us all those special abilities in him. Some people here can hear better than they can see. Their ability to hear is better than their ability to see. Some people can see better than they can hear. Other people can feel more than they. And anyway, God gives us those abilities in the natural, God, which correspond to the abilities God gives us in the spiritual. No one has it all. That's why we need each other, see. And so, mine is, the Lord's always given this ability to see. And so, the Lord showed me what I was fighting during that season, this spirit of Leviathan. Now, it's mentioned in the book of Job. It's mentioned in the New Testament. Mentioned in the book of Revelation. It's mentioned in, and it's even the description of the spirit is given there, even how it looks. How it looks to us in the natural. And in that, when I saw in the spirit, the Lord said, I'm going to roll back and show you what you're fighting. And I saw this Leviathan, and that at that particular time, I was fighting for one of my children in that particular battle. And God opened it up, and I saw myself on a mainland. God just gave me a vision. I saw myself on a mainland, and then about 200 feet out, there was this little small island. It was real obvious. Sand, hardly nothing on it, except there was these people that was on that island. And when I would look to the people, they would look to me. But the moment they would turn around, Leviathan in that space of that water would come out. And the Bible just calls it my dragon is what it replaced. In fact, it's the little description of pride of the enemy himself, of Satan himself. And that spirit operates with such pride, but it's a hiding spirit. You can't hardly see it unless God reveals it to you. Because what would happen is as I would look at those on that little island, every time they would look at me, they would see me. But the very moment that they would turn around and look away from me, Leviathan would surface. This huge demonic creature would surface. But the moment they would began to turn back toward me, he would immediately go down. That's what Leviathan is notorious for. He's hard to detect, but he's always there with these destructive powers because I fought that Leviathan before. Then I was fighting, going back now, I'm fighting for this surrogate dad. And I would see myself standing against this force of darkness. But there are times where prayer escalates. Prayer changes. If you're not getting deeper, then you're getting weaker. Let me tell you. If you're not getting deeper, then the enemy is bidding, setting you up for an attack that you're not going to be able to handle. Because the kingdom is always moving forward. And in the propulsion of moving forward, the enemy, the levels that we fight in warfare prayer is always moving up also. And as levels move up in warfare prayer, then I must be consistently growing. Everybody say growing. Somebody shout growing. Somebody hold up what we grow in. The seed, man, that seed right there is what we grow in. And I must be always growing if I'm going to stay up with what the enemy is planning. Because the kingdom is always moving forward. Well, I was praying for this surrogate dad, and I did not have the understanding of authority. I thought, well, man, if I got the faith, I can stand in front of anything, you know. And so I had the faith to believe God. So there I was standing in front of this surrogate dad. And a week out to what I'm going to tell you about, a week out from that, God showed me. I was in that intense battle again. And Leviathan was coming, and I was braced, man. I was braced. I had prayer working. I had prayer going on. I was working, and I was standing. But I didn't realize the level had changed. When Leviathan came to me, which I was expecting he would have to come through me to get to somebody I loved. But when he got to me, he went over me. Just like a slithering snake, he went over me. And I looked, and he was on the very one. Right at a week later, a disaster took place that took my surrogate dad out of this world. While I was in prayer, I think I was on prayer on my knees when it happened that morning. See, because level of prayer had moved up. Because the truth of the matter is, when we stand in authority, we stand at there are certain that we have authority over, but there are others that we join with them in prayer. Brother Don, come here just a quick minute. Now, I call him Don, but I want you to know this is not Don. This is Moses. You can tell the white beard. But Brother Don has been my prayer buddy for, we've been together about 30, 35 years. And he's been my prayer partner so many times. But what Brother Don and I recognize that we don't have authority over each other. We walk with each other. There were times that, man, I wish Don did. There were times when I've been at death's door and I wanted to call Don and say, Don, you got authority over me now. Take this thing away. But Don doesn't have that authority over me. He has that love for me. And he can't rule over me with authority, but he can stand with me. And that's what we got to understand. You can stand. As you pray for people, you do not make their will. As you pray for people, then God deals with them to change their will. You got to understand that. Now, it's different for people you got authority over. People you got authority over, then God has given you a God-given authority. That doesn't mean God has changed your wills too. I'm not saying that. But you have an authority where people God's given you authority over, they have to come, enemy has come through you to get to them. But to people that you don't have authority, you have authority in prayer to stand with them. All right, this is Moses. Somebody say, hello, Moses. He's going to part the water, so y'all better get rid right down through here. No. But see, I want you to carry back Exodus, Moses on the mountain. He has authority over those God has given him. And that authority is so strong. When Moses lifts his hand toward God on that mountain, because he has been given the authority over the children of Israel to lead them out. He said, I've given you authority, lead them out. Moses on that mountain had this authority. Every time he would lift his hand to God, what would happen? They would win the battle. They'd win the battles. But the moment his hands would grow tired and his hands would go down, they would lose the battle. Destruction is taking place. All the horrible things taking place. So what happened was, God called alongside of him Aaron and Hur. They said, I've come into agreement with you. I'll hold your hand up. That's where agreement in prayer is so powerful. As long as Don will believe and put his trust in God and have faith, then I can stand with Don and I can hold his arms up. And I wish you could get a picture this morning of what would happen if a group of you said, I'm going to help you, Don. I'm going to help you pray through that thing. I'm going to help you believe God. I'm going to help you overcome that. And a bunch of you would run to Don and begin to hold him up. And together you become a powerful force operating through his authority to see God miraculously do wonderful things. Amen? Amen. Now, so as you begin to move, when you begin, go to the next slide, please. Go to the next slide. All right. We're talking about how to cover in the blood of Jesus. How God, there must be, before you can, you must be an authority understood. Now, I want Don to share with you. About 2 years ago, Don was going through a real episode, a situation. I'm going to tell you what, preach comes on him, so I may not get to talk to you anymore. But about 2 years ago, he was going through a situation, and God came to him. And God said, Don, your prayer must change. He was fighting real personal issues. And the Lord came to him and said, Don, you must change. And so God elevated his prayer.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, a few years back, I realized that my personal prayer was not enough. I was getting attacked in my own personal life. My family was getting attacked. It was just crazy, crazy attacks that were coming in that, I always thought I could just walk in peace and love and pray and believe God and it's done. You know, I go in that secret prayer closet and get her done. You know, I saw a t-shirt said get her done, you know. I always could do that because that was, I just had that faith and that belief that I could do it by myself. But those crazy attacks, they increase. And the Lord began to speak to me, said that your prayer life is going to have to go to another level. And just to mention some of the crazy things that were happening, my wife saw a dragon that fell out of the ceiling. Leviathan, yeah, and he fell out of the ceiling, and she said he had smoke in his mouth, and she knew fire was in it. And then she stood back in the dream and said, what you going to do about it? And so I began to pray, and I began to allow intercessors to join in with me and pray with me, you know. My son got shot, you know. You can't take anything for granted anymore. Prayer has moved to another level. You know, my favorite words is when I leave home, I pray, lay my hands on my wife. I pray over her and the kids. And I say my favorite words when I get done is pray for me. I love you and have a blessed day. Those are my favorite words. She'll say, But anyway, you know, that's how intense it was. And I never took anything for granted after that time that my prayer had to go to another level. When I would get on the bus, I walk around, apply the blood of Jesus over that bus, and I would anoint the seat. I carry my oil with me. I anoint every seat with the oil, and I would declare that the blood of Jesus prevailed over this bus. And I wouldn't have any accident, kids, fights turned to people just talking about Jesus. The kid began to talk about Jesus on the bus, and they began to ask me to pray for their family members, you know. And I didn't ask them to let me pray for them. I was doing this secretly. But I'm just letting you know that prayer has gone to another level. And, you know, doesn't have anybody interceding for you, you need someone interceding for you. When we first discovered this, it was a lady that we know, and she just walked out in front of a car, and the car hit her and killed her. And we wondered about that. Why in the world that could happen? You know, she just walked out in front of a car. And then the thing came to my wife and said, no intercessors. We can't take this life for granted because you got a call on your life. And God want you to know that you are special for him. And I tell you, this is close as heaven we're going to get in this setting we're in right now. I love you guys and thank you. Yeah.
And Don, during that attack, the Lord came to you and told you that you couldn't pray it by yourself anymore.
Yes, sir.
That you had to bring other people on board with you. And I tell you what, there's a lot of you are facing things. I want you to know that you're trying your best. You're such a wonderful person. You're trying to handle things on your own. But I tell you, I want the Spirit of the Lord to let you know today. There's just some of you have come to where that the level of prayer has to come to another level. That you're not going to be able to handle it by yourself anymore. You're going to have to join and get others to join together with you. Because some things of what you're facing is bigger than you, but they won't be bigger as Aaron, Hur, Moses, all the group, as you join together in prayer. God has breakthrough for every situation, but we have to do it right. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Will you tell that then?
Praise the Lord.
I told you, when preacher comes on, he don't want to quit.
Pastor, he called me one night. I was suffering with my body. He knew the devil was trying to take me out. You know, I guess the Lord had warned him. My health was bad. My back went out. And he called me and said, Donald, I'm concerned about you. And how's things going? I said, well, my back is hurting, and I'm just in a lot of pain. And he told me that it's in the spirit, you know. And I began to pray in the spirit all night long. And when I prayed all night long, and you, how many of you know you can't sleep when you're in pain? Yeah. So you might as well pray.
Yeah. Prayer so, complain, and prayer helps a lot more.
Amen. So I prayed in the spirit all night long. Woke up the next morning. I tell you, I took a shower, and I knew I was healed. I didn't have no pain. I could lift my back. I mean, just laying in the bed praying in the spirit did it, you know. And I'm telling you, God has lifted us. I know Pastor was praying for me, and it just lifted to another level of prayer when someone else is praying and holding up your arms.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want you to, as we're facing it, because most of you recognize that there's been an assault worldwide against the things of God. I mean, the enemy is so afraid that you're going to get your family together. He's so afraid that you're going to get your life together. He's so afraid that you're going to beat that addiction. He is so afraid that you're finally going to come to a place to where you're going to be able to walk out of that insecurity and to begin to walk in who God has called you to be. He is so afraid of that worldwide that he has launched just crazy attacks. And some of you are experiencing that. And I'm here to tell you that some of you, the level of the devil has increased. So the level of your prayer must increase. And you've got to find out what that next level is and begin to occupy that territory. Most of you, it's going to be that you're going to need an Aaron and a Hur. We all want somebody to rescue us, but that's not where it is. God given the authority over your life to you. So it's not that. It's got to be others joining with you to agree with you and believe God with you to see something miraculous happen for the glory of God. So I just want to really, really encourage you this morning. Now, we're going to go ahead and close with this. I hadn't even did a scripture and had about 40 of them ready for you. But I just want to, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and get three scriptures there real quick, then we'll be closing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 said, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors." How many God has saved you from the empty life? Amen. Man, just the empty life. What the devil had for us. And it was not paid, was it? Was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. Next verse said, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, that he paid the price for my empty life. And then I want to go over, if you would, to Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Because as God enables you to stand against the enemy, and God empowers you in your prayer, and your prayer level is going to a different level as you're growing in God, then know this. You just saying words won't make it happen. There must be a faith that's operative. There must be a faith operating with that blood if that blood is going to be a covering in your life. It said, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Everybody say faith in his blood. It's not enough just to know about the blood. It's not enough to just know about the blood. There has to be faith in the blood. I want to quickly ask you this. Whose blood is it that you're using? Whose blood is protecting you? Whose blood is forgiving you? Whose blood is it? You've got to understand, if you're going to have faith in something, it can't be faith. It's not like your blood. Do you understand that? It's a different blood type. It's not A, it's not B, and it's not O, but it's G. It's a different blood type. It's God's blood. And what makes the difference in it, because it is God's blood. God's blood is supernatural. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, it came by way of a word from God. God sent a word through an angel, spoke to Mary. When he spoke to Mary and Mary believed it, the spiritual became physical, and in her womb a seed was birthed. The difference is, so your blood came from your daddy. Whoever your daddy was, your blood came, and he deposited that seed. But Jesus didn't come by natural means. He was born physically, but he was birthed spiritually. See, that blood came right down, and it came by way of promise. Somebody says, I don't understand that. Oh, yes, you do. My kids, when they was 4 and 5, I don't understand that. Oh, yes, you do. I didn't understand. I wasn't. Yes, you did. Yes, you do. Many of you received a paycheck this week that was the physical result of a promise that God had given to you that he was going to provide all of your need. And because you believe God's promise, the spiritual was birthed in the physical. And it became something physically tangible to you. And you say, well, everything in life like that. Whatever it is going in, is something spiritual starts out. Spiritual starts out as a spiritual promise. So that's what it is with the blood of Jesus. So when I'm talking about using the blood of Jesus in my life and believing in the power of that blood, It's not my blood. It's not your blood. And it's not A type, and it's not B type, and it's not O type. But it is G type. And it has a supernatural power that works with it, and it brings that life into that. Now, the Bible says that the way that I will overcome, Revelation 12:11, it said they conquered him. Who is the they? The they is the multitude of people that they were gathered there in the book of Revelations in chapter 12 when there was a great sea of people that had overcome and come out of the battles and come through things and overcome addictions and overcome marriage situations and overcome divorces and overcome all the things that the devil had thrown at them in life. That's who they were. And they tell how they did that. They did it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you know what? It wasn't A and it wasn't B. What was it?
G.
It was G. Amen. And that blood has supernatural ability. Then the second part of that is they completely declared that in their life. Right now there are forces of darkness that are fighting. But I want you to know God has not left you powerless. Whatever is going on in your life, God has given you the power, because who's the him in that verse? Who's the him? We're the they, but who's the him? Satan. You have to draw a line, and this line has to be not a mixed line. It has to be a straight line in your life. Jesus said, I've come to give life, but the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. You just got to know that. This side is overcome by the blood of this side. You understand? It's the power of that blood that gives us that power. Praise God. Amen. So whatever you're facing in life, God probably is wanting to elevate your prayer life. Some of you, God may want to start your prayer life. Others of you, God wants to teach you about, give you some more training in prayer. Others of you, God wants you to solicit. Don used that in the early services. I use that word solicit. Solicit others to come alongside you in prayer. Pray. I was in a death and life struggle here some time ago, and God spoke to my heart the very same thing that he had spoken to Don. I didn't realize that he'd spoken that to Don until this week when we were together. But God spoke that to my heart and said, Jerry, you can't overcome this by yourself. He said, I want you to solicit those to help you fight in this battle. Many of you sitting right here this morning are those that I solicited to help me win that battle. I want to say thank you. Thank you to my Aaron. Thank you to my hers. Thank you for doing that. Amen. To the power of the blood. What the Lord wants to happen is God wants the ability of prayer. Now, this is I keep this chair sitting here a lot because this is symbolic of prayer. Now, it used to be when I was a younger man, this was my symbol of prayer because I walked and prayed. Now, Lane, I'd have to get a walker for her because, but this is symbolic. Go ahead and start any time, Steve. Wait, just a quick minute, though. This is symbolic of prayer. And what is going on in your life, whether it's tremendous discouragement, whether it's a tremendous difficulty, whatever is going on in your life, wherever it is for you, that place of prayer can turn it around. It can give you this grace to make it in this hour that you're going through. And it will give you, hey, this is not a parasol. It can give you a covering for whatever it is. I literally see this. I don't use this, but I literally see this in prayer. Most of the time in prayer, I drop down to my knees, and while I'm on my knees, I sense that that umbrella, as you call it, or that covering. The Bible in the Old Testament is from this Hebrew beautiful word called huppah or chuppah. And it literally means what God uses to cover our life. Debbie, I watched that covering over your family this last several weeks. But it's what God uses to cover our life. That's that word huppah, or is really a modern day term, would be umbrella. And in prayer, I literally see coming down covered with that umbrella and me pulling underneath that covering everyone that I can get. Because if I can get them under the blood, I know the blood will win for us. Amen. Because you know why? Because it's not A, it's not you, it's not B, it's not you, and it's not O, but it's G. Amen. And God's blood has the power.